Radio Prague News. The Civic Democrats, Christian Democrats and the Greens have agreed to sign their coalition agreement on Monday. A Daily has reported that Health Minister Rath is under police investigation on suspicion of corruption. And doctors are planning to challenge a health ministry directive which extends their office hours to 35 hours a week. The Civic Democrats, Christian Democrats and the Greens have agreed to sign their coalition agreement next week Monday. During talks on Wednesday, the three parties also agreed to introduce a flat income tax as well as flat VAT that would be set between 15 and 19% after the coalition agreement is signed. VAT would only vary in areas concerning foodstuffs, medicines, public transport, books and services in the sport, cultural and accommodation sectors. Police are investigating Health Minister David Rath on suspicion of corruption, the Mladafront.nes newspaper writes. At the time when Mr. Rath headed the Czech Chamber of Doctors, 13.7 million crowns disappeared from the chamber's Tempus Medicorum magazine budget. Minister Rath has rejected any responsibility and says the allegations are part of a politically motivated attempt to discredit him. Reports say Mr. Rath has considered suing the paper for the printed article. Doctors have spoken out against a health ministry directive which extends their office hours to 35 hours a week. Up to date, doctors were only obliged to open their doors to patients for 4 hours a day. The head of the Czech Dentist Chamber, Jiří Pekárek, said on Wednesday the doctors' representatives will approach President Václav Klaus this week to ask him to challenge the directive at the Constitutional Court. The health ministry says patients and hospitals would benefit if doctors extended their office hours, but the deputy chairman of the Association of General Physicians, Jana Urova, says patients would be disadvantaged as doctors would not have time for home visits. Some 300 people gathered on Prague's Wenceslas Square on Tuesday afternoon to demand that outgoing Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek leave politics. The organisers said Mr. Paroubek's speech after the June 2nd and 3rd general election, in which he challenged the ballot's results and compared the victory of the right-of-centre Civic Democrats to the communist takeover in February 1948, was unacceptable. Prague's emergency health services say the tropical heat wave has had them attend to 10 more cases a day. On Tuesday alone, 2 people died as a result of the weather and 76 people had to be rushed to hospital. Ever more Prague residents are collapsing, facing respiratory problems or suffering from serious heart problems, the health services say. Doctors have asked the elderly and children to stay indoors whenever possible and urge adults to drink at least 2.5 liters of water a day. The oldest cave painting in the Czech Republic is in Bíčí Skála cave in the Moravský kras protected landscape area, as scientists have now proven that it was drawn 3,200 years before Christ. According to Ivan Balak from the region's authority, the Neolithic painting depicts a geometrical shape resembling a grill painted by coal on the cave wall. It is yet to be determined whether it was a ritual painting or part of a larger picture. I'm Dita Asiru, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Jan Bellinger. Here are some of the stories we'll be looking at today. New legislation promises a revolution on Czech roads. There are now more dollar millionaires in the Czech Republic than ever. They're calling it a revolution on the roads. On July 1st, the Czech Republic, which has one of the worst accident rates in Europe, will see the introduction of a new law, including a point system for driving offenses. The new rules are controversial, but the police and transport ministry say there is no other way to bring the country's reckless drivers under control. Rob Cameron has been examining the law, and he joins me in the studio now. Rob, let's begin first with the fact that Czech drivers really are seen as being very poor.
They are, Jan. I mean, I can give you a sort of scientific answer
as to whether they are really that bad, and an unscientific answer based on personal experience. According to the statistics, Czech drivers are very high up on the league table of deaths per 1,000 kilometres, along with countries such as Greece and Portugal. Last year, the number of deaths fell, but the number of accidents rose. And speaking from personal experience, I would say Czech drivers are indeed very bad. They drive too fast, they don't keep the distance, they take unnecessary risks and are generally very aggressive, which is an odd thing for such a passive nation. Although I would also qualify that by saying that you'll see the worst driving in and around Prague. And also, I would have to say that the situation has improved ever so slightly.
And the new legislation, of course, is intended to improve the situation far more. Tell us a little bit more about the new law.
Right. Well, the main thing in the new law is that it introduces a point system of driving offences. So 12 points and you lose your licence and are banned from driving for a year. You also have to take your driving test again to get your licence back. The point system is used, of course, in most of Western Europe, Germany, France, Britain, Italy, Austria, but also some countries in Central and Eastern Europe, Hungary and Poland. It's proved highly effective in many countries, and it also doesn't replace the current system of fines. Fines will stay and they will be much higher.
And are there, say, any other changes other than the point system?
There are, yes, several. The chief among them is that the police will be able to confiscate driving licences on the spot, thus, in theory, taking the most dangerous drivers out of circulation immediately. And that will only be, of course, for very serious offences, such as causing a serious accident where someone was killed or injured, leaving the scene of an accident, drink driving and so on.
Right, but all of this sounds very sensible. Why has the new law, in fact, been so controversial?
Well, I think it's because that some people claim that it will just encourage corruption, as drivers desperate not to rack up points will bribe police so they're not given points on their license. I think that's nonsense, because corruption is already a problem. It exists, but it's nothing to do with the system. It's to do with the honesty of individual police officers and, of course, drivers. Other people say that you'll be able to rack up points for the most banal offences, and that's probably a more valid point. So the system is new, of course, and will probably be gradually amended over time.
Now, the new law comes into effect on July 1st. Will drivers get a period of grace before they have to come to terms with it?
Exactly. That's just 9 days away. Yes and no. I think if you're caught running a red light or drinking and driving on July the 1st, you will be punished immediately with points. But the police do say they will be less stringent with minor offences, but probably not for long. So I would advise anyone living or travelling to this country to acquaint themselves with the new rules as soon as possible. There's a big publicity campaign underway at the moment. Radio Prague doesn't actually have the English translation of the new rules yet, but we're trying to get hold of it. And foreigners, beware, the point system will apply to you, even if you don't have a Czech driving licence.
Right, thanks to Rob Cameron for bringing us up to date. According to the latest World Wealth Report, the number of millionaires around the world last year reached 8.7 million, some 6.5% more than in 2004. In the Czech Republic, the rise was actually steeper. The number of dollar millionaires in this country rose by more than 10% compared to 2004, and currently there are over 13,000 Czechs with liquid assets exceeding $1 million. Pavla Horáková reports.
The 10th annual World Wealth Report by investment group Merrill Lynch and consultancy Capgemini, released on Tuesday, said the number of Czechs with assets of $1 million grew at a higher rate than the number of their counterparts in Europe, where the number of millionaires increased by 4.5%. Patrik Horný is the head of the local branch of Capgemini.
In the Czech Republic, we estimate there are around 13,100 individuals with over $1 million in liquid assets. That represents a growth of 10.6% compared to 2004.
Analysts say the figure comes as no surprise, as it's much easier to become a dollar millionaire in the Czech Republic now than in the past. Real economic growth and market capitalization were the two main drivers of wealth creation, but also inflation and the weakening of the US dollar had a significant influence. While 5 years ago, more than 40 million Czech crowns would have been needed to qualify, right now 23 million will do. Patrik Horný explains who's actually eligible to be included in the study.
Our study concerns people who have either permanent residence in the Czech Republic or have a bank account in the country as specified by international standards.
That means, for example, that two Czech famous billionaires, the notorious pirate of Prague, Viktor Kožený, and the fugitive businessman Radovan Krejčíř, were not included in the study. They no longer live in the Czech Republic and have transferred their assets to other countries. As far as the growth rate is concerned, the Czechs fared even better than the United States or Canada. But North America still remains home to the largest number of millionaires, with 2.67 million of them in the United States. Overall, the global growth in the number of millionaires over the past year was fueled by a sharp increase in emerging markets such as South Korea, India and Russia.
Pavla Horáková reporting. You're listening to Radio Prague now. The International Service of Czech Radio is planning on celebrating its 70th birthday later this summer. Kristy Ironside sat down with director Mirek Krupička in anticipation to talk about the station's evolution and what the future holds for Radio Prague. First, she asked him to comment the significance of this year's anniversary.
It's a good time to reflect what we have done in the past and what the future holds for us. We are a small country in Europe, so we are here to present the Czech Republic for the outside world, to be the voice of the Czech Republic abroad. We have got many listeners abroad. There are thousands of people who write to us. Last year, for instance, in 2005, Radio Prague got 19,000 letters. And we feel obliged to work for them to give them the information they need, be it news and current affairs or historical information. They might be interested in history because they might be of Czech origin, for instance.
How has Radio Prague changed over the years, especially after 1989?
It has changed a lot. Actually, the most important change was that the ideology which dominated the content of the transmissions before 1989 was scrapped. So we became a normal democratic medium. Then there was, of course, after 1989, there was a sort of restructuration of Radio Prague, and the specific language departments such as English, Spanish, German, and so on, were free to decide what is the topic for their target audience. They started composing their program freely. Then there was a change in technology, of course. In the past 10 years, technology has been changing rapidly. We are sticking with the good old shortwave, as I call it. That's still probably the main medium for us to spread the programs of Radio Prague. But there are other complementary technologies. There's a digital technology now, DRM, Digital Radio Mondial, which is becoming sort of worldwide. When it becomes a sort of standard, we'll definitely jump on the bandwagon and we'll join the radio stations broadcasting in DRM standard.
What other platforms are now available?
There are various other platforms which we use and which were unknown before 1989, such as satellite radio. We are accessible via satellite in Europe and North America, for instance, in most of our languages. There is internet, the medium for future for everyone. So we'll be adding to our internet content, and international cooperation is another way forward. Indeed, the Radio Prague's website doesn't contain just radio in text and audio. It contains much more information about the Czech Republic for tourists. It's not just reflection of what we do on the radio.
Radio Prague's director Mirek Krupička there talking about some of Radio Prague's history and what the future holds for the station. Now you have roughly a month and a half to let us know what you think, and you can even send us a birthday card here at the station. You can write to Radio Prague, Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. It's, of course, time now for today's main feature, Czechs Today, with Jarka Halková. She looks at the life and career of filmmaker and editor Miroslav Janek.
The long and varied career of the Czech film director and editor Miroslav Janek began in Czechoslovakia and continued in the United States, where he emigrated in 1980, at the age of 26. Among a number of interesting projects, he has worked as an editor with Gottfried Reggio, famous for such films as Kojani Skaci and Povakaci. Miroslav Janek was born in Náchod in East Bohemia and first learned about film from his father, a passionate amateur filmmaker.
Do you remember your first film?
Of course I remember my first film. It was a love story, you know. The girl loves the boy loves the girl, and then they are kissing on the street, and then comes the angry father who sees them, and he smacks the girl and tells her to go home. And the boy is very sad after that, and he walks in the nature.
You have made more than 40 short films. How do you choose subjects you make films about?
In the early years, in my almost school days, I should say, or college days, I did mostly story films with actors, non-actors, but stories, little stories, short stories. And I would just sit down and write them. Some of them were, I'm sure, reflecting, you know, the inside of the growing person, you know, all the frustrations and pleasures, etc. The last 10 years I've been making documentaries, and most of the subjects or themes came to me somehow. I crossed paths with them. I never choose consciously, saying, okay, now it's time to make a movie about blind children. It doesn't work like that with me. I just happen to meet somebody who says, look, there are these children there, they are blind, and they are taking photographs. And I say, well, that's a fantastic subject for a film. Let's do it. Somehow, I would say, my life and my desire to make films just crosses paths with theme that happens to be there somewhere.
You are a lucky man. Are there any subjects that you would never ever want to pay attention to, even if you were given a huge amount of money?
I never thought about it, and I think it's difficult to say no, I would never make a film about drug addicts, or I would never make a film about a politician. I wouldn't dare say, you know, they say never, because there are some areas that don't interest me very much. But who knows, maybe one day I will meet a special person who will break my and general image of that particular group or social group or political group, and I might get interested in basing the story on this person and show that type of society from a different point of view. What if I meet some crazy botanic, some guy who is obsessed with frogs, and he's such an interesting personality that carries over to some more general theme or something? Then I say, I will make the film about the frogs. But now I don't know the guy.
Miroslav Janek says about his sources of inspiration and continues with memories of the early days of his emigration.
In 79, I emigrated to Germany and 1980 to the States. And naturally, I was trying to find work in the film business. At the beginning, I was living in Minneapolis and listening to the radio a lot. And then I found this one station, community radio station, that was to me fascinating because they were, unlike the commercial stations, they had a big variety of programming, every kind of music that you can think of. I just liked the spirit so much of the radio that I found them. I went to visit them and I said, I want to make a film about the radio station, which was a foolish idea because you know how it looks in the radio. It's one small booth and microphone, headphones, and a big rack with records. So what do you want to do?
How did you do it then?
I selected or I chose my favorite DJs and I would shoot something with them inside the radio during the broadcast. But also I would ask them to, or I would try to invent some stylization of their personality in reality, in their real life. One of the DJs was a barber, for example. So I would try to shoot some funny scene in the barbershop to see the variety of occupations of these people and the love for what they do on the radio for free, for pleasure, for fun.
Miroslav Janek slowly established himself as an editor, a director, as well as a teacher. And then in 1987, he was introduced to Gottfried Reggio.
I was in New York City editing a documentary called John Huston and the Dubliners. And I was editing, and then one day I received a phone call from Sasha Hamed, Czech avant-garde filmmaker living in New York since the war. And he called me and he said, listen, there is this guy, Godfrey Reggio, who made Kojaniskaci. And I said, yes, I know, of course, Kojaniskaci was a, in the early 80s, was a big hit in the States. And he's looking for an editor, so I gave him your name. So a couple of days later, Godfrey called me and came to visit to my editing room on Union Square. And he hired me for his next film called Powakaci. So it was quite a thrilling situation for me, because the studio setup on Powakaci was absolutely amazing for me, absolutely ideal. There were three editing rooms and screening and very professional, very high level type of work conditions.
CVs of most respected professionals usually list at least a couple of well-known film schools. The CV of Miroslav Janek proves rich experience in filmmaking, but is somehow short on educational qualification. It is perhaps surprising, then, that he himself now teaches documentary film.
For me, it's a certain type of satisfaction, because during the communist years, I was applying to be accepted in film school, and I was never accepted for political reasons, because my family didn't have a very good political profile. Nothing special, nothing dramatic, but just a bad profile. So I never was accepted, and so I am self-taught, you know, all the way. So when I was asked to join the documentary department at school, first I thought it was absurd, because I don't have the school myself. What can I teach? Later, I was glad to be able to make up for the lost time and be able to be in this academic environment and listen to all these experienced and smart guys and educated people that I am sort of catching up on my lack of education.
How one can teach himself to make films without having education?
There are so many people who taught themselves all kinds of different crafts, you know, making chairs and making all kinds of things. You just have to do it by doing it. First you look at things, how they are done, then you learn it, how it should be done, then you try to do it your own way, you know, using the rules, but maybe twisting them a little bit or using your own sensibility, and that's it. And if you watch a lot of films, and make a lot of films. When I was a teenager, I would make 5 short films a year. So that gives you a lot of experience not to make that mistake next time.
Miroslav Janek returned to Prague in 1995. Although he was successful abroad, an offer from Czech television proved too hard to turn down. It meant swapping long and complicated procedures of applying for grants for home and guaranteed work in the Czech Republic.
Is this definite, Prague?
Well, I think it's all just written in the stars. Because, for example, since I moved to Prague, I already worked on 2 films in New York and 1 film in Italy, so who knows?
You've been listening to Czechs Today with Jarka Halková, looking at the career there of filmmaker and editor Miroslav Janek. And let me add, don't forget, later this summer, Radio Prague will be celebrating its 70th birthday. So you still have some time to let us know what you think. Say, if you've been a long-time listener of Radio Prague, you can write to us to let us know how we've changed over the years, and hopefully how we've improved as well. You can write to us by writing on the internet. Our address is english@radio.cz. Or you can just send us an old-fashioned letter or even a birthday card by writing to Radio Prague, Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. For all of us, though, this is Jan Wellinger saying thanks for listening. Till next time.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. six heures vingt-sept, Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 7345, 9415. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.